Right now it's time to bring in Marcy and David from the BerkshireEdge.com. It's the Berkshire Edge on air. We just touch on some of the things that you'll find at the BerkshireEdge.com on a daily basis, and we say good morning to Marcy and David. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're okay.
We're
surviving.
I'm discovering that our daily email did not go out this morning.
Again.
We're a little distracted.
It's time to fire. It's time to fire.
No,
MailChimp sometimes misfires.
Then maybe you should get Mail Gorilla.
Yeah, I know.
It's hard. When that happens.
The problem is that the so-called infrastructure isn't as great as it should be. So they're, it's sort of. Everyone has to lower their standards.
Let's go into the infrastructure of the news here because I want to get going here. Because, we called Arjun to go on the air, and he said, call me back. I'm walking out a door, and he hung up. It's never happened
to me before.
No, it's never happened to me before.
He was doing parliamentary elections and supposedly whatever they are, in local,
oh,
local,
back,
local.
But this is his time.
I understand. We were both dumbfounded. So.
All right. So now you've got a story. Now, this is, people don't realize there are a lot of professional and active pilots. There are a lot of retired pilots. There are a lot of retired Army and Navy pilots. There are a lot of pilots in our area. And you've got a story about two former Apache helicopter pilots.
Who are married.
They're married to each other, two men.
Yeah.
How about that? It makes it even more interesting.
Yes, because if they were in the military now, they would be kicked out.
That's exactly right. Did they get married while they were in the service or after they left the service?
I don't know.
Okay.
They've taken over Catherine's chocolates because Kathy Sunoco had retired, and so they took it over. They're chocolatiers, and I guess this has been something. Doing something like this is something those guys have been thinking about, and so they've really. It's a really great story.
Well, I tie into the story in the second of my many weddings. My wife said, "I want to get some chocolates just to, to have everybody's place setting." So I said, great, we're going to get Catherine's chocolates. Went unbelievable. She bought, like, this is not, you got to remember, this is like 20 years ago. She bought like $800 worth of chocolate.
Oh, my gosh.
It was a bad sign. It was a bad sign to start off the marriage.
Well, I bet your guests liked it.
They certainly did because there wasn't any chocolate left. They all took it home.
You didn't need it. You were on a honeymoon, right?
Yeah, I had a honeymoon. All right.
Honeymoon.
What's great about this story is I'm sure you've all seen the commercial where the two big NFL stars opened up a cupcake store out of Baltimore. And now they're not married or anything, but it's totally different than what they do on the field. And I think two former Apache helicopter pilots, I think it's kind of cool that they're going to take that over.
Yep.
Yeah, well,
they could always drop the candy.
One of them, Trent, I think, went to West Point. These guys are really well.
You don't get to be an Apache helicopter pilot or a pilot in the United States Army or the Marines or whatever without being highly scrutinized. I once, years ago, at the Dutchess County Fair, there was a F-22 that was on display.
Yeah.
And I climbed up the ladder to take a look at the cockpit, and I said to one of the guys there, "So what would it take me to fly one of these?" And he looked at me and he said, "Being born again."
Being born again, they said, really?
It having nothing to do with religion.
Nothing to do with religion.
Yeah, no.
Nothing to do with my size.
Oh, really?
There's no way I could get in there. But anyways.
Could fit in, right?
All right, so that's Trent
Stephen. So this is very nice because Catherine's Chocolates is an institution here in the Berkshires. or in Great Barrington, certainly, you know, very popular and local. I mean, you know, there are two really terrific chocolatiers. I mean, there's are well known. There's Catherine's Chocolates here in Great Barrington, and there's also Chocolate Springs, which is on Route 7, and I guess, is it Pittsfield or Lutz?
No, it's
Lenox.
Lenox,
which is fabulous. I mean, this is, Sever Magazine picked the chocolatier at Chocolate Springs as one of the 10 best chocolatiers in the country. But Catherine's Chocolates is different. I mean, it's also a local institution, and it's been for sale for a couple of years. You know, as so many small businesses in this community, nobody wants to buy them. Nobody wants to work seven days a week.
Well, and also they've been damaged by the internet, by online marketing.
Right.
And also, but families don't want to carry on traditions like Turney's store.
No, they don't.
A perfectly successful, profitable store, and family just did not want to continue on with it when the dad wanted to retire after it's been handed down generation to generation. That's also a problem.
Well, we had that Benz in Lee too, which was a couple of generations. It got sold to somebody, and it's not the same.
All right, so that's Trent and Stephen Kinney, Catherine's Chocolates. Let's move on.
Chocolates.
And that is...
Well, we had several responses to the devastation and the conflagration at Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. And in fact, yesterday we've got an account from a person from Berkshire County who's a student studying in Paris. Who had gone to Monument Mountain Regional High School right here in Great Barrington, and she was witnessing the conflagration, and so she sent us a very moving account of coming upon this disaster, and she sent us a lot of photos. So it was a firsthand account, which I thought was really interesting, and we also had a poem written by Susan Batchelder, who had studied in Paris herself years ago, being just horrified by this event.
As we all were.
There was something about it that was just, it really got you.
Yeah, I don't know whether you all felt the same way, but we just... Absolutely,
because it's absolutely, it is visceral and it is core. But then I don't think the media helped matters by replaying the spire collapsing about 76,000 times in a minute.
Because that was one of the most emotional things. That puts people into such a depressing mood to see that. It reminded people of the World Trade Center. It brought all those things, and it kept going over and over.
And they were still showing the flaming cathedral smoldering.
They weren't showing it live. They were showing the more dramatic pictures.
Well, Marcy and I were in Paris over Christmas holidays, past Christmas holidays, and we in fact stood in front of that cathedral. We didn't go in, but it's the heart.
And in different cities, of course, in different places, there are zero markers where distances are measured from, and it just happens to be where they put their Christmas tree. The zero marker is in Paris. So
just think about that.
It's the center. It's the heart.
When you think of cathedrals, there's two or three things that come to mind. The first one is Notre Dame.
Chartres is not your first cathedral. Yeah. Neither is St. Patrick's.
No. Yeah. So, all right.
Yeah.
So.
The thing that is a little bit encouraging, after it, and apparently the firemen or the fire people did a fantastic job. That's what people were saying yesterday while it was going on. Everybody was saying, why can't they get there? But apparently they did a fantastic job to save as much as they could.
Well, they saved the two bell towers. They saved
a lot of the inside, too.
Yeah, they kept pouring water to the inside, and then they just watered the bell towers just to make sure that it wouldn't spread.
Yeah.
So you've got a couple of local takes on that there. But let's...
Yes, we do. We have somebody who was there, a recent graduate of Monument Mountain. Oh, okay, sorry. I'm not listening. Well, okay, so on to the next.
Let's bring in some good news here, and that is two local nonprofits joining together to combat hunger in the Berkshires.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, these are two nonprofit organizations that have decided to join forces to, combat hunger in the Berkshires, which, believe it or not, one out of four people, that's 25, is going hungry in the Berkshires. That's an astonishing figure to me.
Well, you got to figure this out. It's not only the Berkshires. When NASCAR Dave, 25 years ago, started the Sunday in the Country Food Drive, which, by the way, and it's 25 years, ended up raising almost $700,000 that was distributed on holidays to food banks, people that needed food. As when we found out that one in four number, it's not only in the Berkshires, it's throughout the tri-state region. Our wealth hides a lot of the non-wealth.
It certainly does.
Well, we have this food bank. We have which is people, every Thursday, collect. A guy named Mel Greenberg goes around and collects food and provides it for a local food bank, and he's just quite remarkable. He's been doing this for so many decades, and in fact, its food pantry is located right downtown at the former St. James Episcopal Church in its basement. So it's located right in the heart of Great Barrington, which is an advantage to those who don't have cars. And congratulations to them. And these two guys that have formed these nonprofits, this coalition, are providing healthy food too, locally grown. And they call it Berkshire Bounty. And they've collected many, many pounds for those who can't afford to get good nutrition.
That is a great story.
It reminds us that people are really thinking of each other, you know.
Well, it happens, you've got the crop walk, food, hunger walk, where 25% of the proceeds stay locally. You've got the food banks. You've got the Sunday in the Country Food Drive. You have all these different support services. And yet, it's really hard to reach out. And people don't want to admit that they don't have money for food. They don't want to admit that they don't have food. They really don't.
There are resources that make it so that you don't have to go through that. You can get food.
And it's because we live in a community like we do, and it's the same in South County, Massachusetts. There are people.
I have to say that this attitude of generosity and selflessness and concern for those who don't have enough for whatever reason is such a contrast to what we hear nationally, from who.
Yeah, but that's
who
the,
is who is as Ann Richards said, born with a golden spoon in his mouth.
Here's the great thing.
Locally, all over this country,
there are
communities that do this, this is the more important.
That's the great thing we have to focus on in this country is that, even though things are a little haywire, people still care about people.
That
is the flip side of the same issue because people care locally. They just don't want any strangers here.
Yeah, what's
there are other
they care locally. I mean, it is possible to fan the flames of hatred against people who come from the outside. So, yes, I mean, I think it is wonderful that people care locally. And once, you know, when foreigners get here and they become part of the community, they get cared for, too. But they also give back to the community as well. The flip side of the same issue. We care for, you know, we care for the people we know who are nearby, but we don't want anybody else here.
All right. I want to move on to your next article. The article on Nico Wohl.
Oh, yes, our young, young jazz guitarist who's earned a national award for his playing, and you know that's this is another good story. he's been recognized as one of the few across the country by the National Young Arts Foundation. And he's a young guy in Great Barrington, so it's that's another hopeful story.
we need hopeful stories because
we do.
I fear to go to the next story. I fear to go into the plastic water
bottle.
Oh,
story.
Will this guy ever give up? Will we ever give up?
No. Well, this guy, you know, David hypothesizes, and he may very well be right. I mean, this guy came to the town meeting last year, loaded for bear, and he was waiting in line to speak. And just before he got to the microphone, the person before him called the question, and we were asked to vote on whether or not we needed more discussion. And the group voted that we didn't need any more discussion. So this guy was left standing at the microphone, very angry because he had prepared all kinds of information that he wasn't allowed to present.
Well, the rules of the town, the rather rules of town meeting protocol say that when somebody calls a question, that takes precedence over everything else.
And so it was not as if he was being
discriminated against. It was that
somebody can call the question, and they agree on it, and that's the way town meetings have run in New England for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Well, he was very frustrated, got very angry, announced to various people, including me, that he found Great Barrington unsympathetic and he was going to move, and he canceled his membership at the Edge and wanted a refund.
You ate the meal already.
But he's still here. And he is, I mean, look, I don't mean to denigrate him. I mean, he has a right to speak, and he probably has some information that he wants to present. He's against this bottle ban. However, it has, you know, I go to the supermarket now, and there are no more single-use water bottles for sale at the supermarket. There hasn't been a giant upheaval here as a result. And all over town, I mean, these water dispensers are being installed. And so now if you have a water bottle, if you buy your GB on tap metal water bottle, which David and I have, you can carry it around and you can get a refill of fresh water and you don't have to throw anything away. It's up and running, but he still wants. He has submitted a warrant to this year's town meeting to cancel it.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see. I mean, and the people who launched this are actually nervous because it was overwhelmingly voted in last time, and then there was a special election to try to override that, and that failed. So, it's been voted on twice.
It's kind of a signature, decision by the town of Great Barrington, you know, to kind of take on this, this global issue of, you know, of plastic pollution worldwide, and do something about it. And I thought it was quite, you know, remarkable, actually. So,
all right.
But this guy has just got it in his head that he wants to repeal it.
And he also is claiming that, we have rights to free speech, and obviously we don't agree, we don't sympathize with him, but, you know, he's claiming that it was dishonestly marketed to the community, and that he has information that where it was implemented once before, the amount of plastic trash did not diminish. And my feeling is, so what? You know, we all have to do whatever we can to diminish trash, and if it didn't work one place, let's try to work it again. I mean, we have a trash problem,
yep.
A plastic trash problem all over the world.
All right, we only have about.
Also, he claims that that filling out the he claims that people's taxes are paying for the maintenance of the water system. And so, we're kind of taking advantage of people's taxes by having these water dispensing stations. But he's actually wrong. The water system is maintained by water bills that are paid by the residents of the town. Any case, he's just on a campaign against this. But we'll see at town meeting, which is next month.
All right. Well, we are flat out of time for the last story on the Berkshire Hills School Committee. I got 30 seconds. Who wants to take this? 30 seconds.
David.
Oh, the school committee is sort of up in the air about what to do in the future with Monument Mountain Regional High School, which needs some repairs, and the proposal has been before the town, the three towns that are in the regional school district, of building a new high school, repairing the old one, or doing nothing. And you'll just have to wait until next week for us to find out what in the world the school committee is going to finally decide to do.
All right. Well,
about that.
Those
is that stories, a way to conclude the show? Sure.
There you go. Those stories and many, many more.
Tune in next week.
That's right. And also,
right here, you'll hear it first right here.
Not only tune in next week, but check in all the time. TheBerkshireEdge.com.
Yeah,
exactly.
Check in all the time.
Absolutely. Thank you for that.
All right. The Berkshire Edge.
TheBerkshireEdge.com.
There we go. All right, guys. We'll speak to you next week.
Okay.
Take
Bye.
Care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. David and Marcy, The Berkshire Edge. On air, and you can hear it right here on Robinhood Radio, and we even rebroadcast it.
Right, and you know, obviously, if you don't get your morning newsletter, you can always go to the website.